Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not going to get political with what's about to be said. I think. So you might be aware that there is an election getting ready to happen this year.
Is that what that's called?
That's what we used to call them. There's a not as nice word for them now. So I won't go into details. I'm sure you've been hearing things now and then about what's been going on. But I recently, last week or two, I saw a video that had an interview with the daughter of one of the candidates. And it was an interview that took place a few years back. And in this interview, the daughter was relating this story about walking with her father through, I believe it was through New York City. And, you know, seeing the tall buildings, all the stuff that was going on and whatnot. And how as they were walking together, her father, you'll figure out which one it is in a little bit if you don't already, saw this man sitting, a homeless man who's homeless, sitting next to a building, holding his sign out and, you know, asking for some help. And she mentioned how her father pointed at this man and said, "You see that guy right there? He's got $8 billion more than I do." And the reason that he was saying this was because he was in so much debt from various business experiences that his comment was basically implying that this guy living on the street was technically wealthier than he was, because he had all of this debt. Does that kind of make sense? Ish?
Very early.
I tried to say it without mentioning that it was Donald Trump, but but then I failed at the end right there. It was such an interesting story to me because he wasn't poor. I mean, I understand that there was the debt, don't get me wrong. But there's a huge difference between that kind of paper debt and living on the street. I saw a study that was released earlier this year in which someone was trying to make the argument that Americans are incredibly poor relative to the rest of the world. And the reason that they were justifying this was by looking at things like mortgages and car payments.
Student loans.
In my case, student loans. You know, the debt, and if you take those numbers and you subtract it from what the people actually have in terms of liquid assets, that they're really poor because they have all this debt, right? You kind of following me-ish? And on the one hand, I understand the argument of that, and on the other hand, if you stop and think about it, and if we're honest with ourselves, I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us in this room ate today. Is that fair to say? If you didn't, I'm really sorry. There's more bread left over from communion, and we can hook you up. And I'm fairly confident that all of us slept in a building last night. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
I'm fairly confident that any one of us, were we to experience a health issue, live somewhere relatively close to medical care. Now, we could talk about the price of that, but we'll leave that to the side. We're not poor. We're not a poor nation. We're not a poor congregation. That's a huge shift in mindset for us as a community. I remember last year, and Kathy will correct me because I'll get the number wrong. I remember last year at one point we were talking and there was how much in checking?
$2.93?
$2.93 in our checking account for the church.
Good.
Which, hey, we were in the black.
We were in the black.
You know.
Yeah, and it's that bread.
$2.93 in checking, and that was it. There was no savings, there was no other reserve. Things were rough. And yet, even then, even at that moment, we owned lock, stock, and barrel a building that was worth nearly $4 million. We weren't poor. You catching me? We were cash poor, I won't deny that. But we weren't poor. And we aren't poor now as a congregation. And that's in some ways very scary. Because in some ways I think it was easier for us as a congregation, as a community, when we could tell ourselves, well, we don't have any resources, we can't do anything. It becomes an excuse, a crutch. You following me? There's something very powerful about being able to say to ourselves, well, you know, we just don't have the money to put into some sort of youth program right now. So that's just how it is. That's just how it is. You know, we would if we could. We would if we could. We'd do something like that. Man, that roof, you know, that roof that's leaking and stuff. This one apparently is not. Knock on wood.
It has.
I know, it has in the past. We'll get those replaced step by step. Everything's triage. We're almost out of triage, though. Remember how we, where's Elia? I still love that fix where she took the plants and put them underneath the drips. I love that so much. We had our indoor water feature. People pay a lot of money for an indoor water feature. We had one that just came naturally. It's pretty cool. And no, we didn't have the funds on hand to fix that sort of thing. And we could just tell ourselves, well, it's because we don't have anything. And yet, that wasn't really true. We were sitting on all of these assets. And now the scary thing is, we find ourselves with those assets in hand. I know people hate it when you talk about money in church. You know, we do. I don't know why we do, but we do. I'm really uncomfortable with money. Sarah handles all of our bills and stuff because I just get stressed out and freak out with it. I know that's exactly what you wanted to hear about your congregational leader. I don't do well with money. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be more comfortable with it. But when I read something like today, and then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I read that and I have to be honest with myself that convicts me in some ways. Because I struggle with how to balance the things that I want, the things that I think that I need. How to balance that with all of this want and need in the world. You following me?
Yes.
I wish I had an answer for you for that today. But I don't. I don't have the magic solution for what that looks like for us going forward. But I have a hunch, or at least an idea, of how we can come up with an answer, or some answers. The last few years, we have taken opportunities to gather together in house meetings. We did that before we made the decision to sell and to move. We've done that for other purposes as well. And it's not going to happen this week, and it's not going to happen, frankly, this month, because Easter is coming up, and I'm exhausted. But probably sometime this summer or so, we are going to take some opportunity as a congregation to meet again, to do some more of those house meetings, to do some of those opportunities to talk here in worship, to pray, to discern, to figure out what it means for us to take these assets that we now have in hand and use them for the glory of God. Because we don't get to have that excuse anymore. We don't get to think to ourselves, well, I've only got $293 left in checking, so I've got nothing. Because we don't anymore. make you really uncomfortable, I'm pretty sure we're still well over $1 million. That's crazy. I don't know what to do with those sorts of numbers. I don't understand those numbers. But that's the challenge that we have. But it's an opportunity. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to embrace. It's something to say, holy cow, look at what we can do with this. Look at the lives that can be changed. Look at how we can help out this community. You follow? The first is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've been repeating that great commandment ad nauseum the last 4 years. And we will continue to do so. Because at the end of the day, that's why we're here. To love God, to love our neighbor. Even the ones who drive us a little bit crazy, like the people who keep parking here in the upper lot, that aren't technically supposed to park here, but we'll work something out. To love God and love our neighbor, that is why we are here. And now we have been blessed with an opportunity to do that in ways that we never could have before. So as we go into the next several months in the summer and such, and as we start to have those conversations that make so many of us so uncomfortable, talking about money in the church, don't shy away from it. Don't be afraid of it. Recognize that this is a blessing, that we have been blessed with an opportunity to make a difference that we never could have imagined. That God has entrusted us with resources beyond our understanding. And I can think of no greater sign of respect for God and no greater sign of our love for God than to embrace that challenge and make the best of it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, O blessed and loving God, for the ways in which you have been with us throughout this year and beyond. We give you so many thanks for the opportunities that you have placed in front of us. We ask you to help us this day and always to feel your peace and your presence, to understand that we are a part of something so much greater than ourselves. We ask you to help us as we go forward from here, to walk in your ways and to trust in your light. We pray all of this, trusting in your holy name. Amen.